been a few years ago back in 72. I used to be wild. Tear up everything, beat pulpits up. I've had people come and look at my hands and see if I hadn't hurt my hands. Ain't that pitiful? Boy, it's good to see everybody. And I was sitting there thinking, what a day. I don't want to get into this heart stuff again. Let's get off of that stuff, all right? Turn my mic on. Okay, let me do this. But anyway, I was sitting there thinking when Miss Wanda and Brother, that shocks me, him getting up singing with Miss Wanda. You'd think after all these years, nothing shocked me. What do you think about that? I can't carry a tune to a water bucket, but I can whistle. I love to whistle. That's a joyful sound. But anyway, I was thinking, what a day. Who said Melvin? Everything else falling apart, but I can hear. But when you're going to have open heart surgery, now I realize that we can all die just like that. We can all leave this world. In fact, I just had a funeral just a few weeks back. Man was a big avid outdoorsman, hunter, deer hunter, coon hunter, you name it. He lived in the woods. Didn't even have a family doctor. Went to the doctor because his joints was hurting. And he's only in his early 60s. Diagnosed him with head cancer. Can you believe 3 days after they diagnosed him, he died? 3 days after they diagnosed him, he died. Can you believe I just came out of Aiden, North Carolina? I was in Moorhead. I was in Aiden when this happened. And this man had never rode a motorcycle. He's 48 years old. Bought him a motorcycle. And for whatever reason, this man hit a Lowe's delivery truck head on. They literally had to get his body out of the spokes. I mean, it just destroyed his body. And they couldn't open the coffin. And we went to the layout, my wife and I, we went down to the layout, and you've never seen so many people in your life. Have you ever noticed when tragedy hits, have you ever noticed it brings out the best in people? Y'all noticed that? We ain't going to go eat if y'all don't perk up. I'm just picking. But when you're fixed to undergo open heart surgery and your life could, and we could all leave you just like that, but it's what you call gets your attention. Amen. And I got to thinking, this is dangerous for me to think. Can you just imagine where you back in open heart surgery and when it take that scalpel and start to do this and saw you open? Hey, you may wake up in glory. And I get to see the celestial city before y'all do. Y'all don't think like I do. I knew that. Okay, got your Bibles open. Hold them up real high. Hold them up there. Okay, I'm in Matthew, please, in chapter 14. I want you to find your place. Write this on the file of your Bible, and it won't take me long. Matthew chapter 14. I think that's what Elizabeth Taylor told her 9th or 10th husband. Won't keep you long. Y'all are pitiful. It sure is. I appreciate you with all my heart. I'm in Matthew, please, in chapter. I'm in Mark chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 1. Mark, please, chapter 14. I appreciate everybody coming, sending me cards. I appreciate the love offering. Appreciate you helping us. And I'm doing good outside these knees. Boy, can you believe when I get me a new body, Jay? Won't I be bad? My wife says I'm bad to the bone anyway. I want you to listen to this. I'll preach a minute. The doctor, they love giving me a fit. Why do they do that? What would y'all preach? Tell me why everybody wants to give me a fit. Why do everybody want to pick on me? Yeah, you deserve it. He said, Brother Jay, the doctor, the surgeon, he said, now you got two options. One is a mechanical valve, and the other one's a pig valve. Okay, I said, explain it to me. He says, well, The mechanical valve, probably out maybe 10,000 years. Can you believe that? 10 or 12 years, he said, you may have problems with it building up calcium. Now, he said, my recommend to you that we put the pig valve in. He said, you won't have any problems with it. You know what they started on me? They said that, we raise these special kind of pigs. A big black sow. Said, I know you love to eat, now you love slop. I don't know why everybody does this to me. Y'all ain't getting it. Crazy, he's from Texas. He needs to go back to Texas. Say amen. I'm in Mark, please, chapter 14. If y'all don't perk up a little, they must have really be. Well, Mark 14. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes, they sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. Now that's the Son of God. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, now I want you to get that, it says Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and she poured it on his head. Now, keep your finger there in order to conserve time and go with me right quick to the book of John. Now, John tells us in John chapter 12. Look in John 12 and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Now, I want you to watch this. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now let's pray. Our Father, Lord, thank you for safeguarding the highways, and Lord, bless your wonderful name to have the privilege, Lord, just to be amongst these dear people. Lord, I pray this morning that God, you'd set that guard at my lips and loose me for a little while and make the Word of God alive in our hearts. And I pray, as Samuel said, Lord, may you bless them, Lord, for this act of kindness. Thank you, Lord, for your love toward us. And I pray again, Lord, would you help those that had the prayer requests? Lord, you know the need of everyone in this building. Lord, I pray for little Mary Gracie. Lord, 3 years old, laying there in Chapel Hill. Lord, I pray that, God, you'd be near that child. Lord, be near the family. Touch it, Lord, if it be your blessed will. Help Brother Lawrence and help his people. Thank you, Lord, for their love, for the preaching of the Word of God. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, John tells us, John is the only one in all four Gospels that tells us that this was Mary. If you look in your Bible, in John 12, then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly. Well, Mark tells us, if you look in your Bible, that she came a woman having an alabaster box of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. That's in Mark, please, in chapter 14, in verse 3. Now, a lot of you know that a few years back, my wife and I, we went to Israel, been to Israel several times, so they routed us through Rome, Italy, and then they took us through Athens, Greece, and then they took us down to Egypt. Now look up here for a moment. You couldn't get me. Well, I've done been there. So if you gave me a ticket to go to Egypt again, I wouldn't want to go there. That is the nastiest place I've ever been in my life. They talk about the Nile River. The Nile River, a human waste floats down the Nile River. And how many of you, by the raising of your hand, have ever seen, I'm talking about either on television, Discovery Channel, whatever, the great pyramids. Would you raise your hand? The pyramids. All right, now if you ever notice now, there's one, it's called the Great Pyramid. That's in Egypt, in Cairo. If you ever notice this, they'll have on top of it, next time you look, you're going to look. Next time you ever see one, you're going to look. There's three of them. And then that Great Pyramid, I want you to look at the very top of the Great Pyramid, and you'll see what I'm fixing to show you just in a moment. There's something about them pyramids that's so mystical, ain't nobody, even scientists, can't even explain it. But let me give you something to really think about. They must have been beautiful things to look at. Now, I climbed almost to the top before they stopped me, but I want you to listen to this. Did you know the top of those pyramids, the very top, their angles of them, the very top of every one of those pyramids, all the way to South America, and they got pyramids in South America, are exactly in line. Now, someone said, and some of y'all nodding your head, so you're in the affirmative, you must have read the same thing I read. And can you believe it goes right over top of what we call that, what is that place out in the ocean where they always having problems? the triangle. What's it called? The Bermuda Triangle. All of these pyramids line up. And I want you to listen to this. But what I want you to see is the next time you see the Great Pyramid, I want you to look at the top, and you're going to see what I'm fixing to show you. I wish to have me a light. I brought this thing back from Egypt. Now, this is alabaster stone. I wish, can y'all see, you could see through it? Can y'all see that? Can y'all see it? Is anybody here at all? Honestly, this is what you call alabaster. And it's a head of one of those pharaohs. I wish I could hold it up to a light. I wish you could do it. Now listen to me. The alabaster box in Mark chapter 14, it had to be real thin. And it was hollowed out on the inside. Hollowed out. This woman in Mark, please, chapter 14, had an alabaster box of ointment, very, very, very precious. Now, if you will, please, go back to Mark, please, chapter 14. It plainly says that she had this alabaster box. That's in verse 3. So you see, it had to be a box, and it was hollowed out, had a lid on it. And the Bible teaches, picture this in your mind. Where did she get it at, Brother Don? Why did she have it? What did she use it for? Well, it was her alabaster box. She could do anything she wanted to do with it. We all agree with that. Now then, she leaves the house. She picks up this alabaster box. And now then, she's going. I want everybody in this building to write this down. She's going to see Jesus. Now, number one, if you look back in your Bible, she comes in totally unashamed. She's already been at the feet of Jesus. I don't have time to show you all this because we'd be here till 3 o'clock. The Bible says that Mary got down at the feet of Jesus. Martha, sir, but Mary. And so you see, this woman here had already been at the feet of Jesus. Now, she hears that Jesus is going to the house of Simon the leper. Now, here she comes. Something triggers her thoughts in her mind. She gets that alabaster box. Y'all agree with that? She gets the alabaster box. And by the way, it could have been sold for 300 pence. That if you take one pence, that's almost a day's labor. That's almost what you call a year's wages. In that day and time, she's got the box in her hand. Say amen. So she goes and she comes in there totally uninvited. You need to write this down. For a woman to do that in that period of time, to come in where there's a bunch of men, Lazarus is in there, and we find they come into Simon, the house of Simon the leper, and she comes in there totally uninvited. She comes in there unashamed. She's got that box, and I believe it must have been paper thin. But anyway, she comes in there. She's uncoerced. You've got to agree with me that nobody made her do what she done. This is all introduction. I'm just trying to hit all the high spots. So she comes in there uninvited. Say amen. Unashamed as she comes in there. She comes in there uncoerced. Amen. She comes in there no pretentious about it at all. She's got a box. And if you read your Bible in the book of John, her name is Mary. And the Bible says that, no doubt in my mind, her hair was already down. Her hair was already down. She comes in there, she breaks the box, and she poured it on the head of the Son of God. Am I right or wrong? Mark tells us that she gets down and she dries his feet with her hair and her tears. Now, go back to Mark, and we'll show you this. Now, remember this alabaster box. Now, remember this. You can see it after the service. And she comes out, it was imported from Egypt. That is, that alabaster box, spikenard, it came from India. And the Bible, if you'll drop down, look if you would right quick, look in verse 8. She have done what she could. She's come aforehand to say it back to me, Brother Lawrence. What does it say she's supposed to do? To anoint my body. Does anybody hear it all? To anoint my body to the what? To the burying. Well, if I have any sense, and I don't have a lot of sense at all, she comes in there and she brings that box. What's going through her mind? All right, she's coming in there just for him. Nobody else. She couldn't care less. If I'd have been her, I'd had to send Lazarus. I ain't even 15 ways back. I'd have poked on him. Say amen right there. Lazarus has been dead and now he's alive. Y'all ain't got... Me and my wife, they won't let me drive anymore. So I mean, drive like 11, 12 hours and all this junk. So he said, I love my cardiac surgeon. He said, about every two or three hours, I want you to stop. And I don't want you stopping at no rest area. I want you to... Did you hear what I said? He said, I want you stopping in the McDonald's or Wendy's and get out and walk around. He said, it's too dangerous to stop at a rest area. Said, I don't get out unless I have my gun. I like that surgeon. But I'm trying... Listen to this. So they don't want me to drive... all the time. Just one. I used to get in a car, drive 10, 11 miles, go to the bathroom, just stop occasionally. Well, anyway, they don't want me doing that anymore. So my wife and I, we stopped down at this place and it said, yard sale. Hallelujah. Man, I like them bargain specials. Y'all go to Belk's, guess what I go look for? Where it says clearance. I mean, it's just like a red light. That's where I go. So my wife and I get out and I'm supposed to walk around, so we're walking around up through there. This woman, of all things, this woman stops me, and she said, where are you people from? And so we told her, and I told her I was from Kentucky. What do you people do? I said, I'm an evangelist, travel all the time. Well, she said, boy, it's good to know somebody knows the Lord. So anyway, we got to talk. And then she brought up this woman. What is her name? Catherine Kuhlman. You know what my wife does every now and then because of this heart problem? I can't finish a sentence, so she finishes it for me. Well, she's a helpmate. So, I want you to listen to this, Brother Larry. She brings up Catherine Kuhlman. How many of y'all know who Catherine Kuhlman is? So anyway, she brings them up and she's telling me all about Catherine Kuhlman. I said, ma'am, you ever seen anybody she's supposed to raise from the dead? Now she don't like me no more. Amen. Catherine Kuhlman raising somebody from the dead. Y'all ever seen them? What I want you to see is, listen to me. There is Lazarus sitting there in John chapter, if you go back, look in your Bible, John, Lazarus is there. They're in the house of Simon the leper. Now watch this. Had he been healed of leprosy? Ain't y'all got any kind of imagination down here? They're in the house of Simon the leper. So he had to be healed of it. Now that they go, she goes in there, she comes in there, I want you to write this down. She comes in there unashamedly, unselfishly, uncoerced, and she comes in there unreserved and unpretentious. She comes in there, Brother Jay, and she breaks that box. Am I right or wrong? She breaks the box, pours it on his head, and gets down and dries his feet with her tears and her hair. Now, I want to show you something. Write this down for me. Every now and then, God just burns something in my heart. I want to preach a little while on just for Him. Just for Him. She comes in there. She couldn't care less who's in there. Why did she do that, Brother Noble? Because she loved Him. No other reason in the world. She came in there because she loved the Son of God. Boy, I began to put it in my mind. Not this Arios, this what I call devil. I'm not no Greek scholar. I'm not no Hebrew scholar. I know very little English. Boy, this woman jumped all over me. She said, boy, you preachers, you butcher the English language. I said, ma'am, God didn't call me to be no English major. He called me to be a preacher. Hey, I'm talking about all we know today is that Erio stuff, that devilish, sensual kind of love, soap opera kind of love. Then there's what you call the filial, that's a duty love. Why you do it is just out of duty. And you play the piano, you play the organ, or you come in, or you give money, whatever you do, what reason do you do it for? Well, I do it out of duty. Wrong reason. She came in that room, and it's what you call an agape love. It's what you call a divine love. What do you mean, preacher? Just for Him. Now, I want you to write this down right quick. If you go back and look through your Bible, when you're talking about brokenness, in Psalms 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh them of a broken and a contrite heart. So I have every right to say this. If you don't ever get broken, then the Lord has to know He's nowhere near you. But my point is, and I don't believe this junk either, I'm sorry. We're living in a day and time when people will walk down an aisle, supposedly get saved, and there's no brokenness in their life. I don't believe that. I believe God, the Holy Ghost, gets a hold of you, He'll break you. You're not going to be popping bubble gum, making fun, or have your hand down her jeans, or his, or the girl's hand down her. I've seen that stuff. I don't believe a word of it. God, the Holy Ghost, gets a hold of you. In Psalm 34, the Lord is nigh them of a broken and a contrite heart. Oh, this easy believism junk. Shut up, Melvin. Be good. I'm trying my best to be good. All right, now watch it. When you go through your Bible, a broken body, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, He said, this is my body which is broken for you. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever just let it go through your mind that the Son of God, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, did you hear what I said? By the way, before I get too far along with this, there's four Marys in the Word of God. This is Mary of Bethany. They got this rumor now started around that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had a love affair and they produced a child. That's blasphemy. I'm telling you, the Son of God did not have no love affair. He did not have no sexual relationship with Mary Magdalene. If you don't say amen, we're going to stay there. Amen. He did not. Right. Amen. It's a good preaching, man. Just amen a moment. He says, this is my body which is broken for you. If you read your Bible, this is my body which is broken for you. You have the Lord's Supper. And guess what? Most of us do not even contemplate when they put the crown of thorns on His head, He was being broken for you. Amen. When they put the spear in His side, Brother Noble, that was just for you. When they nailed Him to the cross, this is my body which is broken for you. His body was broken for us. Here we find a broken alabaster box. How many of y'all remember the five loaves and two fishes? Would you raise your hands? The Bible says Jesus, when He gave thanks, He broke them. Let's go back and I want you to see a broken body, the broken law. I ain't got time to show you all this. But I mean, hey, the law cannot get you. No. It took the blood of the Lamb of God. Broken body, broken alabaster box, and then we find the broken law. Well, then that broken loaves. And then I thought about it. He was broken when they scourged Him. They broke Him when they crowned Him. They broke Him when they drove the nails in His hand. They broke the Son of God when they pierced His side with a spear. But when Mary of Bethany came into that room, if you go back, look at Mark, please, I want to show you this now. Write it down for me. One of the greatest expressions that I've ever seen in my life of a woman loving another individual is in Mark. Why did she do that? Look at her as the doors open. There ain't a doubt in my mind. Well, they must have had chairs. No, if you go to the Eastern culture, they was probably all sitting on pillows on the floor. She opened, all of a sudden the doors open. They didn't have no WD-40. The doors probably make a noise and they turn around and they have eye contact. And she comes in and she's got an alabaster box. Am I right or wrong? She walks directly to the Son of God, breaks the box, poured it on His head. And the Bible says some of them were filled with indignation. Amen. Could this not have been sold for 300 pence? Now I want everybody to hurry. Let's go right quick. Number one, please write this down. It was her alabaster box. She could have used it on herself. She could have gave it to somebody else. She could have sold it. It's her alabaster box. How long she had it, I don't have a clue. How she got a hold. Some have even went on to say that this Mary of Bethany here, Bethany, was probably a streetwalker. I can't find nothing to substantiate that. I'm not going to argue with it. But Jesus said, she's come to anoint my body to the burying. You see, it's not like it is now. It's not like it is now. You see, Israel had learned the embalming technique back when it was in Egypt. Now listen to me. The Egyptians, they knew how to embalm bodies. But when you get up to When Jesus died, how many of y'all remember Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus? They come and they beg the body. They took the body down and they had 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe. Y'all remember that? They lay the body out. They wash the body. They take the myrrh and aloe. And by the way, if you look in Mark, please, in chapter 14, she had done what she could and she'd come before him to anoint my body to the burying. She could have sold the alabaster box. She could have used it on herself. She could have given it to somebody. But she poured it on the head of the Son of God. Every now and then, boy, God burned something in my heart. For a little while. On just for Him. She comes into that room and she does it just for Him. Could I ask y'all a question? Look at me. You come to Grace Baptist Church and for what purpose do you come? To for Brother Lawrence to see you or because it's your duty to come or because of Brother Jay or Miss Betty? I'm saying, why do you come to the house of God? You ought to come to the house of God to worship God, to adore the Son of God. No other reason. But I'm fearful we come for a lot of other reasons than that. Most of us anymore, we just come in and sit down and get up, say amen. Say amen to me. We come in, we sit down, we get up and go, for God's sakes, don't have a spell. You know,
I can do that.
I know that.
If the Lord tells me to.
But what I'm saying is, do you ever, Miss Betty, how many years y'all been married? Oh, let's pray. This lady where I was at last week, I laughed till I thought I'd die. They've been married a long time, hadn't they, honey? I'm talking about Al and Gladys. He's a barber. I love to be around them. He said she had 8 brothers. She said when I seen him in his military uniform, like 50-some years ago, she said, I thought he was the prettiest thing I ever laid my eyes on. That's what she thought about him. What I'm saying is, they'll say, boy, I just adore my husband. I just adore my wife. You're saying the word worship is adoration. Amen, Brother Sisson? What in the world's wrong with us adoring the Son of God? Adoring Him. But people anymore, Brother Sister Betty, if somebody does get happy and raise their hands, are they do it at ball games? Scream and holler. I told my wife, I am so sick of football. You can't even watch. You can't even find the news anymore. Everything's a football game. Say amen. And everybody gets so upset at me. I said, it's a low-down game. And the game don't accomplish nothing. When the game is over, what's it produced? Pay them millions of dollars to play a game. Say amen. So we come in, and we find our little favorite spot, and we sit there, and I'm talking about year after year after year, month after month, service after Sunday, and I'm talking about we're destitute today of what's called a worship service. Do you ever just worship just because of Him? It says the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. What's wrong with us adoring the Son of God? Do you ever do it just for Him? Amen, sister. You say, preacher, listen, well, I teach a class, but why do you do it? Why do you do it? I don't find them standing in line, won't teach a class. Whoopee! I want to teach a class. You can't get them to teach a class. You can't bribe them, pay them, or shoot them to get them to come and teach a class. Amen. But I'm saying, well, do you worship, I mean, just for Him? Well, I teach a class, but do you do it just for Him? You should. Well, Brother Sisson, I give money, but why do you give the money? Just for Him. In all my years, I've only seen 2 people ever shout and take an offering. Most of them was elderly people. Most people, when they're taking off, cry and whine. Sorry I woke y'all up. But y'all know I'm telling you the truth. Well, what if God took the 90 and gave you this to 10? I mean, what I'm saying is, I mean, do you ever do anything just for Him? When you put it in the offering plate, do you do it just for Him? When you sing, do you do it? Oh, that tears out every fiber or more of my being. Well, not you. But would you come and sing for us? Ain't that pitiful? Not you, Brother Noble. You sit there. You're like me. You couldn't carry a tune to a bucket. One day we will, old son. We get a glorified body. We'll outdo them all. I mean, you'd have calluses on your bottom before I'd ask you to sing for me. Well, that went over real big. You ought to be singing for the Lord. Amen. Would you come and sing for us? I mean, I hear that. I know what they're saying when they do that. But do you ever, that's like a little Ernie. You ever met Ernie Schumann? Where's Sharon? Ernie, do you remember Ernie? My wife and I, he comes to our camp. When I pastored in Cincinnati, I went and got Ernie. Look up here. His daddy is filthy, filthy rich. They offered him millions of dollars for the farm that they own. Ernie's the executor of it. I'm just telling you about Ernie. And I'm not speaking ill of Ernie. Ernie was a member of the church that I pastored. He knew nothing. My wife and I took him home with us and taught him how to be hygienic and to use shaving lotion, to use deodorant. Hallelujah. Say amen right there. But poor Ernie, God bless his heart, and it wasn't Ernie's fault. A lot of it was his daddy. Ernie would say, Brother Sisson, can I sing? Now, some people wouldn't let him sing. I'd let him sing. Man, he'd get up there and he'd sing. Let me get the tune together. Now, Ernie couldn't hardly get it all together. He'd say, there is a melody. In my heart there rings a melody. Well, he couldn't sing it. Not in care of the tune, just like me. But I'd get the biggest blessing in the world of hearing Ernie sing that song. I'd rather hear a bullfrog croak all night at some of these professional singers. Say amen right there. I'm talking about little old Ernie would get up there and sing, and my heart, I mean, just pull my heart strings out. What I'm saying is, when you worship God, do you do it just for Him? When you do anything, do you do it just for Him? Y'all went through a camp meeting. Wonderful. How many of y'all attest that God's been good to you? Boy, God's been, I wish I could raise all of them, but I can't. But boy, God's been so good to me. Do you ever just stop and say, Lord, you've been so good to me? Hey, listen to me. Why did she come in that room? Why did she break the box and pour it on his head? Just because she loved him. With a supernatural love. I said, just for him? Boy, every now and then I have a spell. Every now and then I can't contain myself. They're always trying to get me to slow down. I said, I can't find the brake pedal. You're going to have a heart attack. I said, not without the knowledge of God. I'm trying to get you to see, when you do anything, do you do it just for Him? Can't even, yeah. Oh, when you have prayer meeting, you can't get them to come to prayer meeting anymore. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin by not praying for you. I believe when you pray, I believe you ought to do it just for Him. I ain't never figured this. Why does people change their voices? Oh, God. Why do they do that? Why does people change their voice when they're going to talk to God? I'm saying, what you do, you ought to do it just because you love Him. Then I thought about this. You say, well, I sing. Well, wonderful. But do you do it just for Him? And I thought about this. Do you teach a class? But do you do it just for Him? And I know Brother Jay. I know some of y'all a long time. You deacon? Who's deacons and trustees? Raise your hand. One, two. Did you raise your hand? I love Miss Betty. I bet she'd make a good one. I know you would. What I'm saying is, Brother Lawrence, if you're a deacon of a church and you're a trustee of a church, you ought to do it just for Him and not some show. Boy, I get so sick of that junk. Amen. I'll tell you another thing I get sick of is these mossbacked preachers. Oh, did I say that? That's going on tape, ain't it? I'm going to put it on the radio. I tell them, if you're going to preach, do it because you love Him. Amen. Not because of the lucrativeness in it, say amen. Not because all the little perks you get out of it, say amen right there. Just do it because you love the Lamb of God. Amen. You couldn't get some of these sorry preachers. Shut up, Melvin. Be good. I have to talk to Melvin. Now, I don't like Mary talking about me, but I talk to Melvin a lot. But I'm saying, preachers today, honestly, before God, that makes me, it aggravates me. Don't anybody ever get concerned about a little boy like that? Wonder what kind of preachers they have. I told this sorry preacher, I'm telling you, look up at me. Don't bother me. I ain't going to back up on it. He's all their concern was the monetary gain, how much money they was going to get. Hey, look here, that's a hireling. Say amen right there. I'm talking about you ought to preach because it's a calling. You don't have a job. If you preach, you ought to do it just because for him. No other reason. You teach a class, you ought to do it just for him. You worship God, you ought to do it just for him. Amen, sister. If you're serving in a capacity, you ought to do it just because you love him. Amen. Boy, I love to serve the Lord. Do you really? Why do you do it? I never seen such a time in my life. You have to. I'm just picking on Miss Betty. Now, Miss Betty, now you need to come to church. You need to come. Y'all ever heard that? You shouldn't have to be begged to come to the house of God. That woman came in there uncoerced, unashamedly. You know why? Just because she loved him. I don't know how y'all feel, Brother Don. I don't know how anybody feels in this building. But I sure would like to be, if I can't be down on my knees, I sure would like to be either preaching the Word of God, or I'd like to be up worshiping him, worshiping the Son of God, or the words coming off my lips. I love you. Amen. About the time I exit out of this world, that'd be a good way to go, wouldn't it? Would that not be good? Amen. Roll off my tongue. I love you. Out of here. Amen. I'll finish it up for you, Mel. I'm saying, do you do it just because you love him? Amen. You can't argue with me. She comes into that room. She breaks the box. She pours it on his head. She takes her hair just for him. Missionaries, preachers, laymen. I've never seen such a time. We got 14 churches in our county that has no pastor. You can't even get them. Ain't that pitiful? Eight churches in Russell Springs don't have a pastor. That's 22 churches. You say, Brother Sisson, Miss Kathy, you know I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world. Not intentionally, I wouldn't. I told my wife, 40-some years of my life, sometimes I feel like, do I ever do anything just for him? I try to. Boy, after he done so much for me, and I think, do we ever do anything just for him? Preacher Sisson, you can't argue with me. She brings that box into that room, and the Bible says that some of them would feel with indignation, and they said, Why is this waste? It could have been given to the poor. But she did it just for him. See, I remember years gone by, missionaries used to go to the mission field. They went there to die. You know the reason why? Just for him. Won't you listen to this? I'm talking about just for him. Brother Cleveland Johnson, that boy, a good friend of mine, he's pastored that church for years and years and years. Russell County. We was down in Ringo, Georgia, and his roof, for whatever reason, the roof just fell in. His whole auditorium's gone. Very fortunate there wasn't nobody in it. Got the best attitude of any man I ever seen in my life. They just moved over to the fellowship building and kept on worshiping God. No fussing, no arguing, no nothing. Just moved over to fellowship hall. Whole building gone. Don't you listen to this just for a minute. The church that they've got, the church building they've got, they got 5 acres, I think, sitting on 5 acres. Got an auditorium 130 feet long, 50 feet wide, buildings everywhere. But I used to preach for them 30 years ago, and they had this little old building, had a big turnbuckle in between the walls to keep the walls from falling out. And there's a woman in that church, her name was Miss Mary, elderly lady. Long before they ever perfected hip replacements, long before ever they replaced, or I mean, University of Kentucky ever perfected joint replacements, she'd come to church on a walker. On a walker. Give an invitation, she'd be the first one at the altar. She'd be the first one, tears run down her face, just weeping and sobbing. I could see her now coming down that aisle. She gave that church 5 acres of land where that building sits now. She gave them that 5 acres. We'd go over there and this revival meeting. She lived maybe 300, maybe, I don't know, maybe that far, maybe 200 feet that way. Like, almost like where Brother Lawrence, wherever he's at. Like Brother Lawrence's house to this church building. Here she'd come on that walker. I can see her now. She'd come on that walker. Bad hips, bad elbows, bad everything. She had a path war from her house to that church. A path. You could say, Miss Mary, we'll come and get you. Oh, no. She's way up in years. It took her forever to get there, walking on a walker. She'd say, everybody in this neighborhood knows that's my church. She said, I want them to know where I'm going. She wouldn't let you come pick her up in the car. She'd walk over there on a walker. And she'd just cry. And she said, Brother Sisson, Lord's been so good to me. I have never, ever forgot those words. She said, Lord's been so good to me. Hips gone, elbows gone, crippling rheumatoid arthritis, and her walking on a walker. And she'd say, everybody in this neighborhood knows that's my church, and I want them to know where I'm going. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing? She just done it just for him. Do y'all ever feel like sometimes, I don't feel like we sacrifice. We grumble and complain the length of the services. We complain how hard the preaching is. But I wonder sometimes, do we ever just do anything just for Him? You know what I want us to do? I want us to stand, bow our heads and close our eyes. That's enough said. Brother Sisson, I wonder, you know what I want to ask you to do? I wonder how many of you, just for Him, would slip out of your seat, the pianist is going to come. You shouldn't even have to be asked to, but I wonder how many of us would come and just say, Lord, just for You. Just for You. Would You come? Just for You. You did so much for me. Just for You, I'm coming. And Lord, I want to get on my knees and tell You I love You. You asked any of these men, boy, I like it when my wife says, I love you. Asked any of these women, boy, they like them words, I love you. Hey, I'm saying, do we ever do anything just for Him? Just for Him. Boy, if you preach, you ought to do it just for Him. Hey, whatever you do, whatever capacity you do, you ought to do it just for Him. She broke that alabaster box and she poured it on the head of the Lord Jesus. Could I beg and plead with you this morning to get saved? Could I beg and plead with you to get saved this morning? Hey, nobody's looking. And you'd say, Brother Sisson, please pray for me. Is there anyone in the building you'd like to slip your hand up and say, just pray for me? God bless their heart. Slip it real high and then take it down. God bless you. Thank you, dear lady. You know, I don't like it when my heart gets hard. Look at her. She comes in there and she's weeping and she takes and she dries His feet with her hair just for Him. Lord, sometimes in my own life, Lord, I get so disgusted with me. Lord, would You please help us this morning? Bless the hands that was raised. I pray, Lord, that You'd break our hearts. Lord, when we see the fields are white unto harvest, Lord, and the labors of few, Lord, some of these have got lost loved ones. Lord, someone stood in the gap for them. Now, Lord, it's our opportunity to stand in gap. Lord, I pray for my boys this morning. I pray for my grandchildren. Lord, I pray for my daughter-in-laws. Oh, please, God, this morning, help us to see, Lord, what all you did for us, and we do so little for you. God, just for you. Let me say that I love you. Thank you, Lord, to know we've passed from death unto life. And God, you've been so good to us. You've been good to this nation. And just for you, let me say thank you. As Miss Wanda sang, please bless the invitation. Bless the need of every heart in this building. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While these are praying, my brother.